Amen. Isn't it good to see all the wonderful things that God is doing at Return? Amen. God is a great God, and He always exceeds everything that He's told us He would do. He goes far and above and beyond. Amen. Are you thankful for Jesus today? Amen. Can you just give Him a big hand clap and shout of praise? Amen. Did anybody walk into this building with any strongholds on your life today? Got quiet. I'm convinced that we all have some strongholds in our life. I don't care how long you've been living and serving God, there are some strongholds in our lives. And today I want to take us to the book of 2 Kings. And I want you to be prepared today to release some things out of your life that are not of God. Amen? Release some things out of your life that are holding you back from being the very best that God wants to offer you in life. We hold ourselves back from becoming everything that God wants us to become. In the book of 2 Kings chapter 3, do you love the word of God today? Yes. Well, good, because I'm going to read quite a bit. Beginning in verse number 1. Now Jehoram, the son of Ahab, became king over Israel in Samaria in the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 12 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and mother, for he put away the sacred pillar of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he persisted in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel sin. He did not depart from them. Now Mesha, king of Moab, was a sheep breeder, and he eagerly paid the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and the wool of 100,000 rams. But it happened when Ahab died that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. And so King Jehoram went out of Samaria at the time and mustered all Israel. Then he went and sent Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, saying, "The king of Moab has rebelled against me. Will you go with me and fight against Moab?" And he said, "I will go up. I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses." And then he said, "Which way will we go up?" And he answered, "By the way of the wilderness of Edom." And so the king of Israel went with king of Judah and the king of Edom, and they marched on that roundabout 7 days. And there was no water for the army, nor for the animals that followed them. And the king of Israel said, "Alas, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him?" And so one of the servants of the king of Israel answered and said, "Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah." And Jehoshaphat said, "The word of the Lord is with him." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. And then Elisha said to the king of Israel, "What have I to do with you? Go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother." But the king of Israel said to him, "No, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." And Elisha said, "As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not look at you nor see you, but now bring me a musician." And then it happened, when the musician played, that at the hand of the Lord came upon him, and he said, "Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. Make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall ye see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, so that your cattle and your animals may drink. And this is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. He will also deliver the Moabites into your hand, and also you shall attack every fortified city and every choice city, and shall cut down every good tree and stop up every spring of water and ruin every good piece of land with stones." In our final verse, it says, "Now it happened in the morning, when the grain offering was offered, that suddenly water came by the way of Edom, and the land was filled with water." Let us bow our heads and pray. Dear gracious Lord, today, as we enter into your word and we prepare our hearts for what you have for us this morning, I ask, God, that you would speak into our lives and into our hearts, and let us hear the word of the Lord, and let us walk out of here changed in some kind of way. I pray that a breakthrough would happen in this place today, and that breakthroughs would occur, and that people would be freer in the Spirit of God. And it's in your name we pray. Can we all say amen? I want to speak to you this morning on this subject, and that is that breakthrough is coming in our lives. Breakthrough is coming at return. Breakthrough is coming for you as an individual. I want us to look at our story this morning. There are three kings that, not to mention all of their names and their animals, they found themselves in a very desperate situation. They had gone 7 days in the wilderness and they had no water. Now, how many of you understand that that is a dilemma, because water is a necessity of life? Water is not an extra or a luxury, but it is necessary in order to sustain life. Without water, you die. And the king of Israel starts blaming God for the dilemma that they are in. How many times as we're walking through life and we're dry and we feel barren and we feel like nothing is happening, and we begin to question and blame God? God, why did you do this? Why did you do that? Why did you allow these things to happen? Or you look at the story of the Israelites when they were walking through the wilderness and God was guiding them through, and still they would begin to complain and murmur and question God and question Moses about what God had told him, because they felt like that God had turned their back on them, and they just felt like that they were not able to hear the word of God. But you know, sometimes God puts the word into one person that one person can deliver that word to his people. You see, the king was a bad influence. Sometimes the biggest problem in our lives is our friendship circle. People that we hang around with, people that we run with, people that we listen to. You see, influencers of our lives. If you are walking and trying to walk closer to God and trying to hear the voice of God, you need to circle yourself and encircle yourself around people that hear the voice of God and that are following after God. Don't fall wayside to people that are going to try to discourage you and trying to tell you false things and trying to get into your ear and question your God. You begin to encircle yourself with people that are going to enrich you and equip you and challenge you in your lifestyle with Christ. You see, we have to refine our friendship circles, and sometimes we have to eliminate whiners and complainers out of our lives. You know, whiners and complainers will just challenge you in a negative way. Sometimes you've got to sift out the doubters and the pouters and everybody that always has everything going on in their life because they want to try to bring you down in their situation. Have a deliverance service and deliver yourself from people that have no vision, no passion, who spend all their time wallowing in self-pity. These people will drain your energy, and they will keep you off track in your mission with God. Wrong associations will kill you. They will kill your joy. They will kill your vision. They will kill your passion. They will kill your faith. You've got to eliminate those people out of your life. You see, if it hadn't been for King Jehoshaphat, who knew the power of a word from God, they would have died in the wilderness. He said, "Is there not a prophet here that we may inquire of the Lord?" You need to surround yourself with people that would walk a mile or 5 miles or 10 miles to hear a word from God. I know Sean shared with us last Sunday of his mission trips. When I take mission trips to Jamaica and Haiti and some of those countries, you may have 300 people in the building and there be two cars in the parking lot. And it's not really even a parking lot. Those people have walked for miles and miles and miles to hear from God. You know something? We in America have everything that we need. We have it made. If you woke up this morning with a breath of life and you woke up with a shelter and a home and something over your head and food to eat, you are blessed. I remember up on my mission trips to Haiti, and the church there had a school, and in the school, every day they would serve the children, 200 children or so, that they would serve a meal. Every day they would eat rice and beans. And those children would slurp that up because that was the only meal that they had for that day. While we in America, we complain about foods we don't like and throw away more food than they have. We need to understand that we are a blessed nation. We are a blessed people. We are a blessed people of God today. And so sometimes we need to just surround ourselves with good people. You see, God is going to break droughts and shift you into abundance and overflow and shift you into a new season. This is a new day, it's a new breakthrough, and it's a time for a turnaround in somebody's life this morning. Somebody's walked into this place. Your family told you you would never amount to anything. People have told you you would never break the addiction. People have put time frames upon your life saying that you would never make it, you would never succeed. Can I submit to you this morning? You are sitting in the house of God and you have a chance to break through by the Spirit of the Almighty God today. And so, in the scripture it said we need to make this valley full of ditches. That's not exactly the word that you want to hear when you're in the middle of a desert dying of thirst. They had not had water for 7 days. And they're told to go out and dig ditches, make the valley full of ditches. If you've ever dug a ditch, you know that digging ditches is not easy work. Digging ditches is hard work, and especially difficult when the ground is dry and when the ground is hard. Here they are in the wilderness, a dry desert valley place, a low place. And in this place, this low, dry desert place, the word of the Lord says unto them, go and dig ditches. It was hard, slow, difficult work. No doubt their hands were bleeding, their backs were sore, their arms were aching, and their shoulders were aching. And to top it all off, they were thirsty, and they had become so thirsty that it was unbearable. I'm talking to somebody this morning, right now, that you've been in that same dry, low place, where it looks like everything is hard and it looks like it's difficult and it looks like there's no way out. You have to force yourself sometime to praise the Lord. Sometime you have to force yourself to pray. Have you ever realized that when you begin to pray, it seems like everything else begins to flood your mind and the enemy will try to keep you from a prayer life? I remember as a child, I was sharing with Angela, my wife, a few days ago when I was raised up in a pastor's home, and I would run around with my dad when I was just a little child. He'd go out and visit people and pray for people and all of these things when I was just a little guy. But there was one house that we would come to, and this little lady was a prayer warrior. She lived in just a shack of a house. But when you would pull up in her driveway and get out of the car, you could already hear her inside giving God praise and worshiping God. And if you knocked on her door and she was praising God, she didn't answer the door. She just kept on praising and kept on praying and kept on worshiping because it was her time alone with God. There is a time in our lives where we have to get alone with God. We have to get in His presence, and we sometimes have to encourage ourselves. As I said on Wednesday night, sometime we might need to get out the anointing oil and just anoint ourselves and encourage ourselves in the Spirit of God. Give Him praise this morning. Sometimes you have to force yourself to read the Bible. Sometimes you have to force yourself to go to church. I don't get up every morning and feel like going to church sometimes on Sunday. Most of the time I do, but there are times when I'd rather just lay in bed. But you know something? It's not a choice. I mean, it is a choice, but I don't make it a choice. Because as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we're going to give God praise. As for me and my house, when everybody else is trying to get away from the ways of God, I say we move toward the things of God. And so here they are in a wilderness, a dry place. And sometimes in your life it feels like it's empty and your mind is saying this is ridiculous and the devil is telling you it's not worth it. Can I tell you that the devil is a liar? Everything about him is false. The devil is telling you it's over. The devil is telling you it's dead. The devil is telling you it's never going to happen. Those dreams and those visions and those words and those prophecies that they are never going to come to pass. You're never going to launch that ministry. You're never going to do what God called you to do. You're never going to see your children saved. You're never going to get out of debt. And so you look at the present circumstance and you feel the temptation to adjust. Agree with the devil and give up. But somebody needs to make up your mind this morning that you're going to hold on to the promise of the Lord, that you're going to hold on to the Word of God, and even though I'm in a drought, I'm just going to keep on walking, I'm just going to keep on pressing, I'm going to keep on propelling for what God has called me to do and to be. You see, I know it's hard work. I know it's difficult. I know sometimes it doesn't make sense. Have you ever realized that sometimes God calls you to do something that it just doesn't seem like it makes sense. But God knows the beginning from the end from the beginning. And so you may not sense it. Sometimes you may not feel like it. But you just keep on digging that ditch. Keep on digging that ditch. Keep on putting that shovel to the plow. And just keep on working and keep on walking. And God, in the end, will bring you out victorious. He will cause a breakthrough in your situation when you just keep on giving God praise and you just keep on worshiping Him and just keep on living for Him. When everybody else is giving up, you make a declaration that today I am going to walk with God. You may be in the greatest drought season of your life right now, but everything, and it seems like everything around you is drying up. The only way to get through it is to keep on moving, to keep on digging, to keep on praying, to keep on praising, and to keep on sowing, and just keep on coming to church. And when you don't, and when you do not know when you're going to get through the fire, as I preached a couple of Sundays ago, you just keep on walking through the fire and God will deliver you. What do you do when you're going through the heartache and the enemy is closing on you? You just keep on walking. What do you do when you find yourself in the valley of the shadow of death? You just keep on walking. What you don't realize is that you are building a place of God's blessing in your life. Somebody hear me this morning. You are building a place of blessing for God in your life. You are the one who determines how deep and how wide His provisions are in your life. You're the one that determines how much He is able to bless you. You are the one that determines how much anointing you want in your life. You see, you are creating the capacity to receive a greater glory, a greater power, a greater anointing, a greater blessing than you have ever experienced before in your life. I know the devil meant it to kill you. Has the devil ever tried to kill you in some kind of way? Whether it be physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially, the devil's plan is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. I know he meant to drive it away from, to drive you away from God. But Romans 8:28 says, and we know that God blesses those who love Him. That's the God we serve this morning. I know he meant to convince you that it was hopeless. But in Jeremiah 29:11 it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Amen. What a promise that we have from God. I know it's been hard. I know it's been dry. I know you felt like everybody was throwing dirt in your face. But I came to tell somebody this morning that it's a setup. God is getting ready to flip the script in your life. And you're about to see the fruit of your labor. The devil meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. You see, God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. He said, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you do not faint. Notice that little word, if. The smallest word in that verse, but yet it's the most powerful word in that verse. If you don't give up or faint. This is somebody's due season. I want you to bring up 1 Kings chapter number 18. It's a new season, Elijah said. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. And he picked it up in the spirit. In 1 Kings chapter number 18, God had sent fire down from heaven to prove that he was superior to Baal. There had not been rain for 3.5 years, and there was no sign physically of any rain in sight. But Elijah picked up in the spirit that rain was on the way. In 1 Kings 18 and 41, it says, "Then Elijah said to Ahab, 'Go, eat and drink, for there is a sound of the abundance of rain.'" I believe today that somebody needs to pick up in the spirit the sound of the abundance of rain. I came to this house today to tell somebody and to give somebody a word from God under the anointing and the unction of the Spirit, and to say that to somebody the drought is ending. To somebody the drought is over. It's a new season. It's a new day. It's a fresh power, and it's a fresh way. I know I might not be talking to everybody, but I'm talking to somebody. There is somebody that is listening to me this morning who has been in a dry place, and it seems like the heavens are brass and hasn't rained for a while, and it feels like God has moved his forwarding address. But I came to tell you that your drought is breaking. And in the same place where the enemy said it's over, in the same place where the enemy said, "I'm going to destroy you," in the same place where the enemy said, "I'm going to destroy your ministry," in the same place where the enemy said, "I'm going to destroy your marriage," in the same place where the enemy said, "I'm going to destroy your family, I'm going to destroy your health, I'm going to destroy you financially." You know, about five years ago, the devil really began to move upon my mind. I was really struggling in life, struggling with things that I had gone through, and the enemy tried to put it into my spirit and tell me, "You'll never preach again. You'll never share the word of God again. You'll never pastor again. You'll never do any of these things again." But you know something, as much as the enemy tried to put that into my mind and it tried to develop in my mind, every day I would just keep on serving God. It was difficult. It was hard. But I just kept on serving God. And there's somebody in this building tonight or this morning that you're in a place where you feel like you're stagnant, where you feel like you don't know what you're going to do or where you're going to turn to. And the enemy's been telling you all of these things. Can I say that greater is he that is in you this morning than is in the devil? Greater is God that is in you. There is no weapon that is big enough that can form against you and prosper. Greater is God that is in you today than he that is in the world. In that same place where the devil said it's going to end, that it's going to dry up, and that it's going to die, I came to tell you, in that same place, you're getting ready to tap into a fresh anointing, a brand new supply of the glory and the power of God. Somebody needs to take your joy back. The devil's stolen your joy. Some of you need to take your peace back. Some of you need to take your family back. Some of you need to take your ministry back. Some of you need to take your health back. Some of you need to take your vision back. Some of you need to get your heart back. There's a drought-breaking anointing that can happen here today, and I feel that somebody is receiving it in their faith this morning. In Job chapter 14, in verses 7 through 9, it says, "For there is hope of a tree. If it is cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its tender sprouts will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the sack thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water, can everybody say the scent of water? Through the scent of water, it will be bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. Did you hear that? The scent of water. Not the actual water or the taste of water or the feel of water, but just the scent of the water. I believe that here at Return, the scent of miracles is in the air. I believe that the scent of revival is in the air. I believe that the scent of the new anointing is in the air. I may not see physically a ton of difference just yet, but I can sense it and feel it in the spirit. Somebody needs to lift your hands right now and just give God praise for just a moment. Come on, give God praise like He deserves. Hallelujah. We just thank You in this house this morning, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. No wonder the devil has tried to fight you so hard. No wonder he's tried to kill you in the wilderness. Because he knew that if you ever got to Jesus, he would not have a chance. He knew that if you ever tapped into that hidden power, that he would not have a chance, that you would tear him up, rip him up, stand on his head. The Bible says, you will not see wind nor rain, yet the valley shall be filled with water. Somebody today, we have to tap in to that hidden power. The devil thought he had you. He thought he had you in a low, dry place. He couldn't see any water anywhere around. He thought that you would die of thirst, and he thought you would just fold up your hands and give up and quit. But can we all say today, here we are. Here we are, we're serving Jesus, we're getting our lives in order, we're living for the Lord, and the devil thought he had me, and he thought that I would just fold up my hands and quit. He thought I would just throw in the towel and give up and fall apart with my life in shambles. He thought I would throw up my hands and say, I'm done with it, I give up. He thought you would have a nervous breakdown. He thought you would get angry and bitter and resentful and critical. He thought that you would sit down and cry, but he never counted on you digging more ditches. He never thought you'd just keep walking. He never thought you'd just keep on moving. You see, my friend, the devil doesn't know everything. The devil thought you were shallow. He thought your faith was shallow. He thought your praise was shallow. He thought that it was all surface and it was all about emotions. And he thought as soon as it got tough and as soon as it got hard and as soon as it got dry that you would turn around and go back to Egypt. The truth is, I might have quit. The truth is, I might have turned around. The truth is, I might have thrown in the towel. The truth is, I might have given up on my dreams and given up on my visions. But I got a word from God, and you got to get a word that says, my season is changing. It's going to get better. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. You see, a word from God is all you need. All Peter needed was one word to put the thing that was going over his head and to put it under his feet. One word from God is all you need. The valley that you are in is filled with miracles. Somebody today, God said to tell you that your miracle is coming. It's on the way. You can't see it, but it's already been released from heaven. There is a breakthrough, and God is trying to tell you it's closer than you think. Sometimes we give up right on the verge of our miracle. We're just about to walk around that corner and just about to receive what God has for us, and we give up just before we get to it. There is a breakthrough, and God is trying to tell you it's closer than you think. You are on the edge of your miracle. The drought is breaking in your life today. The season is changing. Maybe it's a financial drought. Financial drought is breaking. Spiritual drought is breaking. The drought in your marriage is breaking. The drought in your ministry is breaking. You're getting your joy back. You're getting your fire back. You're getting your vision back. And you're getting your passion back for the things of God. As our musicians return this morning, can you just give a God a shout right now and thank Him with a big hallelujah? Come on, I dare you to shout right now, hallelujah. Let's stand in this place today. We're going to close out with some worship. And we're going to have a time of altar service. Because I believe there's somebody in here that needs to release some things out of your life.